for relationship with the Lord God Almighty, he will do it through whatever means necessary. In other words, it's time to fight the good fight, whether you feel like it or not. This could be your very soul, your very life, your family's life, your neighbor's life. We're unprofitable servants, Luke tells us in his word. Come on, we'll rest when we get to heaven. We'll rest when we get to forever and ever and ever. This is not the time to rest while we're here on earth. This is the time to do battle. Glory to God. Greater works, the Bible says. And open heaven. Just think about it. Think about it. At certain times in history, you can remember when a window of heaven opened and heaven just poured out. You know what happens? God is focusing on a certain individual. God is focusing all his attention on a certain city or nation, even a church. And what he's doing, he's pouring out his blessings and he's pouring out his power. You know what we call that? Revival. Yes. Revival is not getting folk in by selling tickets or having all kind of carnal entertainment. That's not revival. Revival is when heaven opens and God says, I'm going to focus my attention on this group and I'm going to begin to pour out my power. I'm beginning to pour out my blessings so that the people in that area can receive me as Lord and Jesus Christ. Revival. We're headed that way. See, we understand revival is going and just having a good time and hearing the word. And yeah. I don't know what your concept of revival is. Yeah. But it's when heaven meets earth. Amen. And the power of God, as I said before, being unhindered, manifests itself. And thousands of souls are drawn into the kingdom of God. It's called an open heaven. Special moments. Even in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, what did he say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a prayer that God commanded us to pray. Okay, let's talk about a few revivals. You all may know your history, you may not, but I think this is significant. You had 5 great awakenings, the first one, the second, the third, up to 5. The fifth one was known as the Azusa Street Revival. You remember that? Yeah. Well, in the first one back in 1792, it was a George Whitfield that God used. Now, one thing that impressed me about George Whitfield was he was an English missionary, but his life was a wreck. So if you think you got to have 5 college degrees, you got to stay in theology school half of your life, you have to be ordained a man and given permission to go out, George Whitfield would put all that to bed. He was a miserable person. But they say his life was a testimony to what God is able to transform and use for his glory. He was despised. People hated him. He was raised in a tavern. Father left him, broken home. He was raised among pimps, murders, and prostitutes. See, we'll go and look at him and say, your life will be nothing, but God will go look and say, that's my man. From his mother's womb, I ordained him. Glory to God. And my hand is on him. So when the time comes, he's going to go out and affect over 100,000 people to come into the kingdom of God. God protected him. And while the people may have despised him and talked about it, it was an inner witness that he had. I'm special. I'm special. It's something about my life that God is going to use. Raised in poverty, but used of God magnificently. And then we come up to 1906 with the Azusa Street Revival. I'm giving you these incidents. This is because this is when heaven opened and came down and met earth. They called them revivals. And each time thousands of people were saved and delivered and set free. Then you have the Azusa revivals in 1906. That was an overflow from the Welsh revival, when they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they say speaking in that crazy language known as tongues. And then it comes over to America. Here, God once again began to call on a young man whose parents were slaves. Doesn't matter to God. Man, institutions cannot stop God's plans and purposes. No matter what your station in life, if God has called you, he will see that you complete what he's called you to do. But a lot of times we want to tell God how to do it, when to do it, and God, because I am God, because I, you know, my family is this and my family is that. God said it has nothing to do with my call and purpose in your life. What am I saying? Stop comparing your state in life to other people. Focus your focus on God and what he has called you to do. So he finds this young gentleman's parents, a slave, not much education. You all may know him. His name is William Seymour. Back then, they had blacks and whites worshiping together. That's what heaven looks like. They wouldn't allow him to come and participate in the classes, so he would sit outside the door to listen to what they were saying. He believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say he would sit and have two shoeboxes as his pulpit. So you don't need a $15 million cathedral in order for God to visit. What you need is Christ himself. He had Christ. He was indwelled of Christ. And the anointing fell on him, and he began to draw people from all stations of life, black, white, rich, poor, didn't matter. It was the Spirit of God. It was an open heaven experience where the Spirit of God was drawing all men unto him. What happened was the devil got involved in that. And he began to bring discord and strife. And he separated what became the Church of God in Christ and the Assemblies of God. And it hasn't been the same since. We have to be very careful when an open heaven comes that we keep out strife and discord and prejudice. Because that's one tool that the enemy will come and use to separate God's divine work in the earth. They said that Benjamin Franklin visited a sermon preached by George Whitefield. He states there was over 30,000 people there. And without a microphone, he clearly heard the voice of George Whitefield. He was anointed of God. It's about to happen again. It's called revival. And that's why if God chooses a small congregation like this, whose hearts are healthy, whose hearts are pure, whose hands are clean, who is seeking God through worship and prayer to focus on and pour out his blessings and his power to start revival in this nation, then I say so be it. So you have to be in tune with the times. What is the Lord doing? He's not just entertaining us. He's preparing us for what? An open heaven. Let's begin to think correctly. It's an honor. It's a privilege to know that God is focusing on his children. We're just not hearing the voice of the Lord. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the church is saying, what God is saying to the churches. There is a remnant. Let's get on board. Let's get on board. And it's going to happen quickly. What is an open heaven? I'm going to define it like this. It says an unhindered manifestation. Well, what does unhindered mean? It means it's not slowed or it's not blocked or interfered with. It's time to clean up the temple of God. God wants to flow through us. What's hindering him? What's stopping him? Your own selfish ways? Your own desires. I heard my husband doing the open heaven worship today. Did you get all to God? Did you understand what was going on? I was listening and I heard a sound pass to mind. It was one sound. It's like it was one voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize something is happening? We're being changed from glory to glory. Have you caught hold of that truth yet? Something is about to explode. Are we all on board? Are we all on board? Unhindered or blocked? God's own presence and glory will fill this space. And let me say this. Expect laws to be temporarily or permanently suspended as heaven breaks in. It will not be as you see it today. When God breaks in, everything will change. He will override the laws of man. Fear not. Stop trying to do it yourself. When heaven meets earth, expect all man laws to stop. Expect signs and wonders. Expect miracles and healings. Stop trying to drum it up. God says a season for that. As I begin to open up the heavens and I come down to meet earth, I'm going to suspend all man's time. Expect signs and wonders. Expect miracles. I, the sovereign Lord, am the author of that. Not you. You don't have to drum it up. You don't have to be spitting in people's faces. You don't have to be lying to saints. You don't have to be trying to puff yourself up, prophesying something that's a lie. Yeah. Just settle down. Yeah. And when heaven opens and meet us here on earth, you ought to expect that. Yeah. It's normal. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All we need to do is to prepare the house where God will come to dwell. Prepare the house. God didn't ask you to do all that. He's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Expect healings, revelation, and unusual manifestations of power to occur. That's why we've been studying the Holy Spirit. It says unusual manifestations of power. You don't have to drum a thing up. You just obey God. Just like Peter and Paul's shadow. The shadow was causing healing. They didn't do that. It was an open heaven over their lives. God was focusing on them. You know, don't get frustrated. You want to go to the hospital. You want to see the sick. The time is coming. You want to see the dead raised. You want to see limbs restored. The time is coming. Don't you dare get frustrated. You just keep your heart pure before God. You just keep worshiping our Lord and Savior. You just keep laying before him, saying, thy will be done. You just continue to enter into worship and prayer. And as God begins to smell the incense of your prayer, and as he begins to focus in on your life, you can expect signs and wonders, unusual manifestations of power. And why he's calling us to be humble? Because pride can have no part in this. He's not focusing on you for you to write a book. Start a talk show. Asking for money to send you a piece of feather. This feather fell from heaven. I was told in a vision. It was a part of Gabriel's week. Send me a donation. See, man is sick. They're not seeking God. They're not seeking God's will. They're seeking fame. Check your heart out. Check your heart out. We have to remain humble before him. We see a lot of that foolishness on TV now. Hallelujah. Poverty, sickness, disease, and human degradation will be driven back by the overpowering love of God that will be flowing through us. That's why we have to walk in agape love. All this degradation, see, it says love overcomes a multitude of sins. Once we have the pure love of God flowing in our hearts and we go out and we begin to share it, it begins to overflow and people will begin to be drawn into the kingdom of God. But you got to know how to love right. You got to know how to love pure. You have to have the love of God operating in your life. And then we'll begin to see all that irk us, all that vexed us, push back by the love of God. We worry too much. We worry too much because we try to do all this in our own might. God said, I've called you to worship me. I've called you to trust me and obey me and read my word. And as that brings pleasure to me, then I'll focus in on you and begin to unleash this supernatural power in your life. Stop trying to do all this in the flesh. Stop it. God's about to break on the scene. Heavens is about to open. and come down here and convene with earth. We're going to start seeing the most unlikely people swept into the kingdom of God. Amen. So that's why you got to stop your judging. Amen. Stop your judging. Amen. Stop your judging. You know, I don't know about you all, but I've been noticed we've been getting a lot of friends and family being released from prison here lately. They're just coming out. We're getting shocked. I thought you had 40 years. I thought you didn't have probate. They're coming home. Amen. God is doing something, folk. Yes, keep praying. Yes, got loved ones in prison? Keep praying. Yes. Don't you get disillusioned. Amen. Don't you let your heart break. It's all right to have compassion, but don't you have pity. Amen. You pray and ask God's will to be done. God will open up the gates and bring them out, because revival is coming to the land. Yes. Hallelujah. And this ministry is going to be a part of it. Hallelujah. We're not wasting time teaching and preaching and praying and worshiping. You can even look in the worship service and see how it's changing. It's called an open heaven. Hallelujah. Revival's coming. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. Glory to God. And then as God began to sweep in the unlikely, look for the wealth to flow into the churches where it's not for use for the gospel. But let me say this for a moment. I was talking to somebody the other day. Because, see, we think we're just going to preach to the homosexuals and the prostitutes out there. They're coming in here. Amen. See, nobody's thinking. We better get a ministry together to minister to the homosexuals, the transgenders. What do you call them? Transgender, whatever. Thank you. The murderers and the they're coming in. And we're going to have to love them unconditionally. We're not going to have to tell you got to conform first before we teach. No, come on in. Have a seat. Let's teach you about the pure spirit of the living God. Let the Holy Spirit change them. They're coming in. They're coming in because it's revival time. Hallelujah. Do you have love in your heart for them, or are you going to judge them? Okay, I'm going to give you a moment to pause here. Just think about your own family. Just think about your own family. Anybody here got a perfect family? Oh, everybody here been touched with a prostitute? A whore? Oh, yes, you have. A drunk? Yes, you're a murderer, a thief. Homosexuality. Come on, think about your own family. Yeah, how many of us got loved ones behind bars? Glory to God. Don't you still love them? Yes. Are you ashamed of them? You want them to experience the fullness of God as you experience it now. Think about that when someone comes in here. Don't look like you or talk like you or smell like you. You stop a moment. Have some empathy for folk. All of a sudden, you know, our families turn perfect. No one we've loved been in a situation like this. The enemy makes you ashamed, and you don't come in here. Don't come 11 o'clock service. Why don't you try to tip on in Wednesday night just before we close? The devil is a lie. Come on the morning service. Sit on the front row if you want to. Glory to God. And we're going to let the love of God flow out and bring healing. It's called revival. It's called revival. Are you ready for it?
Yes,
hallelujah. And so am I. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't give up on your loved one. Don't give up. Don't give up. You remember back in the book of John, and Jesus saw Nathanael. And he told Nathanael, "You're a man without guile." Nathanael, remember, he was stunned by this revelation. But what did Jesus say to him? "You shall see greater things than that, Nathanael. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Hallelujah. We're going to begin to, and you know why he told, I'm going to get to this too about self-examination. You know why he told Nathanael that? He said, because you're a man with no guile. He said, you're going to be able to see an open heaven because your heart's pure and your hands are clean. He said, I can see right in your heart, Nathanael. Don't be trying to fool God. Don't be trying to impress God. God, you know I tithe. God, you know I pray 24/7. God, you know I go see the homeless. God said, but I'm looking right in your heart, brother, and I see a little bit of God. Now, if you don't start examining yourself and cleansing yourself up by the help of the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to have an open heaven experience in your life. He could say that to Nathaniel, and a man whom I see no God. Glory to God. He said you're going to see greater things. See, don't think you're going to go and just grab a promise of God and God, this is for me. God said, but you're still wicked. Yeah. You're still dirty. You're still hateful. Yes, it's a promise to my children, but there are conditions to the promises. Clean, pure heart, clean hands. That's who's going to see God. That's the word of God. He told Nathaniel that. He said, you're going to see even greater things than that. Nathaniel, you're going to see angelic visitations. You're going to start having dreams and visions. You're going to start prophesizing. All that is possible under open heaven. Open up your mouth. Begin to speak what thus saith the Lord. Begin to expect angelic visitations. Begin to have dreams that will attest to what's going on during this season. Expect it. We're supernatural beings. Our lives should not be dull. Our lives should be exciting. Our lives should not be full of doubt and confusion. I heard a brother say the other night, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Talk to him. Ask him about things. Lord, I'm confused about this. Clear my mind. Expect an answer. Expect a visitation. Expect to see angels. Glory to God. Aren't you a child of God? Hallelujah. Then you're supernatural. And that's how our Father communicates with us. It's called revival. This is the norm of Christian life. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He says, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, Paul said. All I know is it happened. Glory to God. Me too, Lord. I expect it to happen. I'm going to stop pining for an open heaven. I expect an open heaven. Lord, when is my turn to see an open heaven? Any moment now. Glory to God. I'm waiting for it. You wait for it? Glory, angels are real. Demons are real. God is real. So while you're pining, Lord, is it expect it. But get your heart pure. Get your hands clean. Hallelujah. Take me on to the third heaven. Don't leave me there right now. I got work to do. I don't be getting up there getting all comfortable in the third heaven. But he'll take you there. Oh, divine visitation. It's possible. Stop living such a boring Christian life. Telling people it's boring. That's because you're not pushing. That's because you're not pressing. That's because you're not praying. That's because you're not seeking. That's because you're not knocking. Oh, this life is exciting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Better than Santa Claus ever was. Woo! Glory to God. Boy, we're getting ready for a revival. Woo, Jesus. Glory to God. We need to expect supernatural encounters. And when them Kairos moments occur in an individual life, in a church life, even in a nation, you know what's going to happen? They're going to only increase in their intensity and incidence. They're going to increase. They're going to increase. It's, as the children say, it's going to get gooder and gooder. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Kairos moment. Kairos moment. See, that's what we come into. Chronos, that's the chronological time. That's man's time. Yeah. Well, we about to pop right out of man's time because heaven's going to come in and explode. Yes. And God's going to bring in his appointed time. Yes. Everything will stop. Yes. God says, it's all about me now. It's all about me now. It's all about Kairos time. Get your mind off of how old you are. Get your mind off how old you'll be next year. Get your mind off of what's the life expectancy of man. Ask me what the expectancy is. I'll tell you, it's eternal life. Don't bother me with that foolishness. I'm in a Kairos moment. Hallelujah. I will live forever and ever And ever. And ever. Glory to God. Get your mind off that foolishness. Pastor Bonner, God can break right in your life right now with a Kairos moment and do in your life in 20 years.
Yes.
But you couldn't do in a year.
Amen.
That's the kind of God. Have peace.
Yes. Right.
Have peace. Stop focusing so much on how old you are.
That's right. That's
Kairos is coming. It's appointed time in the purpose of God. It says the time when God acts. It's an undetermined time in which something special happens. Something special is getting ready to happen, y'all. Can't you feel it? I feel it in the atmosphere. Don't you feel it? You feel it. Woo! Glory! Kairos is about to explode in this Kronos Pass. Is that what it is? Something special is about to happen. All I want to know, are you prepared for it? You can't be like Gomer Pyle. Shazam, right. Shazam, what is this, Lord? I'm going to tell you, man, you off my team. You go over there on Reggie's team. Maybe Reggie got time to train you. But God's been training us all these years, has he not? God's been giving us wonderful revelation, wonderful word, wonderful opportunities. Glory to God. So when the Kairos moment burst upon the scene, you're right. Don't be coming and tell me, what do I do, Pastor? I'm sending them to your camp, Reg. I'm telling you. Go right over to your camp. Don't be caught unprepared. That's all I'm trying to tell you. We're closer than you think. Don't be caught unprepared. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of it. I want to participate in the revival. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be empowered with the Holy Ghost where I can touch, come out in the name of Jesus. Somebody had a heart attack, no problem. There's no difference in the spirit realm. I'll back up on you in Jesus' name. Rise. I don't have time to run down. Now I got work to do over here. Glory to God. Don't you want to participate? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Call revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He told Nathaniel, I see in you no guile. And that's what the Father's looking for in us. But what's in us that will prevent us from seeing an open heaven? I'd be concerned about that. It's time to pause and do some self-examination. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 11:28 through 32. He says, let a person examine himself. Then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why so many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died.
Yes.
But if we judge ourselves truly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And then he goes and tells us in James 1:23-25. He says, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, see all that coming to an end, all that coming here being entertained, sitting back with your legs crossed, going to bed early because you know pastor going to have the word. Let pastor pray. Let pastor study. Let pastor carry this ship. But the Bible says here, if you are a hearer and a doer and not a doer, you're not going to participate in this last great revival. You're not. We're all called to study to show ourselves approved. He said he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's how you know the word work? How you know it work? You haven't tried it. All you do is hearing it. Writing it down in your little notebook and going putting it up on the shelf. Look at my wonderful notes. You want to use my notes? Girl, I got plenty. You want on healing? Give me a minute. Here you go. Return it now when you're finished so I can put it back on the shelf. How do you know the word works? How do you know God's a healer? How do you know he's a provider? How do you know he's a deliverer? How do you know he's a forgiver? How do you know he's a sustainer? How do you know his grace is sufficient? How do you know? How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Yeah, it tells you. But have you seen it in your life? Has it been, is it evidence in your life? Heading on, the brother was telling us the other night, you just turn into balloon heads. It just puffs your head up. All that knowledge. I know that. I can read that. But can you give me some evidence? You still look wretched. You still look hopeless. You still look pitiful. You're still living in poverty. Show me some evidence. Show me the word works. How do you know? How do you know? Family members still in bondage. Nobody being set free. Do you have an inner witness? That the Lord's saying, just hold on? Do you have an inner witness? Did God say any day now? Or you just hoping, rubbing on a rabbit's foot? Reading a horoscope. Glory to the Lord say today. The devil is a lie. As a child of God, you ought to have an inner witness. Glory to God. That's how I know I'm a child of God. It's something in here speaking to me daily. It's called the Holy Ghost. I got an inner witness. Just hold on. Don't give up. Remember the promise. And I'm holding on to the hands of the altar. How you know? How do you know? Revival's coming. I'm telling you, you're going to have to know for yourself. Pastor David, how you raise the dead? If you don't, get behind me, Satan. Pastor Jay, how I heal the sick? Get behind me. It's been taught over and over and over again. It's been prayed on over and over again. It's been revealed over and over again. You come and ask me in the day of revival how to heal the sick. Go to the kitchen. Now, we done been that way before. Go right on back there and start peeling them potatoes. Talk amongst yourself. You're still in the camp. You just ain't on the battlefield. Go on back there and wash them pans. Pastor ain't coming back there with you. I ain't peeling no potatoes. Give me a... Don't send me to the kitchen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you failed to meet the test. How do you even know you're saved? How do you know you're in the faith? Somebody told you? You said a few little words and somebody tapped you on the head and said join the church and then start paying your tithes next Sunday. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're in the faith? There is a deceiver out there. He told the Galatians, Paul told the Galatians, who has bewitched you? What's going to sustain you from being deceived? You have some very intelligent Satan. He comes as an angel of light. If you don't have a foundation in you, he can trip you up. You see it all over the world. He confused Eve, who was perfect. Did God say? Did God say? And because of her pride, she said, well, maybe he didn't. I told y'all about a story that reminded me of Zachary. We were trying to teach Zachary about Santa Claus. Zachary, there is no Santa Claus. He said, Mama, just in case. He said, just in case, can I still write him a letter? Zach didn't trust me. Zach had his mind on an Atari game. Yes, he did. He said, I'll never forget that. Just in case. Can I still write that letter? That was his Atari, whatever that was back then. When we align with Christian standards, we have to ask ourselves, am I a true Christian? Or am I a counterfeit? Now's the time to ask. Now's the time to ask. Am I a counterfeit? Thinking I'm getting away with something. God looking right in your heart, say, I see all that guile up in there. God said he's long-suffering. He's not going to contend with man always. Am I a counterfeit? Have I just been riding the skirts of the pastor or the pants of the pastor? Am I a counterfeit? And do I? And let me say something. As long as we think that the person we have ought against or the person that we're fooling is the only one who knows that we're a hypocrite, Satan will always be able to deceive us. Because your mind is not on God knows. God knows. You know, it's like, Curtis doesn't know. I can talk behind his back all I want. So we're being deceived. You know, Dot doesn't know, so I can laugh about her all I want because she's not in my presence to hear this. So you think you're getting away with something. And as long as you believe that lie, Satan has you trapped. But until we realize that we're sinning unto God, we'll never be delivered. Gossip will never stop. You know why it's so easy to gossip? Because it's always behind a person's back. Because a person's never there to hear you. A person is never in the vicinity. And then the devil has us so fooled to make us think that the person I'm gossiping with is not going to go and tell the person I'm gossiping about. See how he brings in all that chaos? But until you realize that that's a sin unto God, it'll all to break your heart. You say, you know, Kitty and Joshua may not hear, but God does. And then when your heart becomes grieved because God does, we're on our way to deliverance. Are you a counterfeit? Have you really been born again? Or are you just putting up a front? You ought to ask yourself those questions every now and then. And it's a good idea when you find yourself involved in a wrong kind of behavior over and over and over again, you need to stop and ask yourself, am I a counterfeit? Am I faking this thing? That wrong behavior. And it brings you no remorse. See, it's different when you do it and it pains you. Then you got that inner witness, Holy Spirit is working in you. But if you can do it and it doesn't bother you at all, you know, it's like, oh, you know, God ain't going to keep me out of heaven. See, that's pride. That's stinking pride. Stinking pride. Examine yourself. Cussing every now and then. You know what? God will forgive me for that. No remorse. Yeah. Lying and fussing and cussing and what do you say, George? Tipping, dipping, midnight sipping? Every now and then, it's not going to hurt anybody. Examine yourself. Because it is hurting. It's hurting the Holy Spirit. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. It's causing the Holy Spirit all kinds of grief. See, get over your selfishness. It's not just about you. Christ lives in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, not adhering to a certain moral standard in your life or the fact that you consistently read about it doesn't make you a Christian. A true Christian is someone in whom Christ dwells. Amen. Does he live in your house? And then if Christ dwells in you, there ought to be some outward manifestations. It ought to be an inner witness. As I said in Romans 8 and 16, Paul says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. You heard that lately? Amen. Have you heard that you're a child of God lately? Yes. Have you heard lately that the Father is indeed your Father? And then you ought to crave the Word of God like newborn babes, Paul says. A born-again believer is one to have a deep and sudden thirst for the Word of God. And it has to be fed. And then your attitude towards certain behaviors ought to change. You ought not like that anymore. You ought not feel comfortable behaving like that anymore. It ought to bother you when you're cussing folk out. Certain attitudes just ought to change. You know, it ought to bother you when you hurt people's feelings or people go away from you and they're crying because you done cut them up. Came back and cut them up again. Your attitude towards certain behaviors ought to change. The love of God should be growing in you when you can tolerate more, Forgive easier. Am I right? You know, after 20 years, you still mean. You still got a sharp tongue. You still lying on folk. You still think you all that and some change. Well, then I beg to differ. Are you saved? Are you born again? But then something ought to be changing about you. Still hanging with the same folk. Well, you know, I'm trying to lead to the Lord. After 20 years? And maybe the way maybe the reason they haven't come in because it's the blind leading the blind. How about that? How about that? Your attitude just about, who up in here saved you and he? I don't know. I can't tell the difference. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's a shame because there ought to be some connection. When I talk to George, it's a connection. I know George filled the Holy Spirit. And you know I am, right, George?
I know you are.
Hallelujah. I trust George. And we getting that conversation going, and it's just going back and forth. The Spirit's iron sharpening iron. But some folk you can go and talk to, it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm leaving here a little confused. I better run like Joseph did and run for my life. I don't know what they talking about. You better run. You better get out that conversation. They talking all kind of foolishness and nonsense. And you going to stand there and you going to, oh, as soon as they finish, I'm going to get them straight. And when they finish, you don't know A, B, C, D, E, F, G. See, that's pride. You need to get out of there. We need to begin to live a life pleasing unto God. You know, they said an unexamined Christian life is like an unattended garden. You let your garden go unattended a few months and you will not have roses and tomatoes, but you're going to have some weeds up in there. And it's going to come out in your conversation. You know, Pastor Monty, you talking weeds to me. I got to leave that weedy conversation alone. I wanted some sweet fragrance up in here. I don't know what you're talking. Bunch of weeds. But see, it's not that you're saved, but you haven't been tending to your garden. You need to get down on your face and start praying and start seeking God and start fasting. This is an unexamined Christian life. It's like an unkept house. You can lock it up as tight as you want and leave it and come back. And when you come back, you can find, why in the world did that dirt get in here? So go ahead and pull yourself off. Go ahead and spend time alone. Go ahead and not fellowship. And you think you keep it because I'm so pure. You know, and I'm so holy. You know, I can't mix with that bunch. Keeping your house tight and locked up. And the next thing you know, you remember that? What's that character on Peanuts? Everywhere he went, dust just lining. Y'all remember that? And people going to be looking at that. Look, what's all that dust coming from Angie? What's all that about? Because she's not tending to her house. She's not tending to her house. You all know when people not tending to the house. And it's not for you to fix it. It's for you to pray. Because if you try to fix it, you're going to get over into judgment. And then God going to judge you. Yes, he is. I'm going to finish up here. An open heaven is not just to come and entertain us. An open heaven is all about increasing Christ's kingdom on the earth. And I'm going to give you some examples real quickly. You remember back in Matthew when Jesus began his public ministry? And he was baptized, and in Matthew 3:16 it says, and he went up and out of the water, and heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Well, this is a pattern. Jesus came into maturity. Jesus was about to go out and start his ministry. He was led out to the desert. After he saw an open heaven, he was taken to the desert. When Jesus came back, boy, he began to wreak havoc. The kingdom of God is here. After the open heaven, the fullness of God was in him. He came into maturity. Well, that's a pattern for us. We're coming into maturity. We're the corporate Christ. God is looking and saying, "That's my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The anointing is coming. The fullness of blessing is coming. Why? For us to go out and spread the gospel. An open heaven is coming so the gospel can be spread. And then remember Stephen. We talked about him on Wednesday. Stephen, hey, Tammy T. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stephen, he was killed. Remember Stephen in the book of Acts, that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He looked up to heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Well, you had some members from the Sanhedrin there and the Pharisees said they covered their ears and screamed and began to stone him to death. Remember that when we begin to experience an open heaven, we begin to see manifestations, these religious spirits are going to resist. And persecution's going to come, but don't be afraid. Because when persecution came with Stephen, they spread out in all Judea and Samaria and began to spread the gospel. An open heaven will bring persecution.
Yes, it will.
So get ready for these religious spirits to attack you. Amen. Get ready. Armor up.
Come on.
Armor up.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Be full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
we're not here to defend the gospel. We're here to show Christ. So when an open heaven come, know why it's coming. Oh, my, open heaven revival. Let's get ready. Are we not preparing to evangelize? Are we already in place to go out and evangelize? See, God always prepare before he acts. He always prepare before he acts. We getting ready to go out and do battle. We get ready to experience an open heaven. Hallelujah. And then you got Peter. Remember Peter in Acts chapter 10 and here was Peter getting ready to go out to minister to the Gentiles. Well, what happened before he went out to the Gentiles? It says that Peter fallen into a trance, saw heaven open, and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. So through this open door of revelation, Peter was told to go out and begin to minister to the Gentiles. Change the face of the world. Open heaven. Are you ready? Is your heart prepared? Through faith and patience, through race resting in the Lord. God doesn't just visit. He wants to come and he wants to make a habitation.
Hallelujah.
He's coming for revelation.
Yeah.
He's coming for habitation. He's coming for visitation. But where is he going to habit? Where is he going to reside? What house is he looking to reside in? A house that's holy and pure.
Yeah.
Are you holy?
Yeah.
Are you holy? He's coming. And he's just not coming for a visit. He's coming to stay. But he's looking for a pure heart. He's looking for clean hands. He's looking for a house that's holy. That's the kind of atmosphere he resides in. Because he is holy. Glory to God. Are you holy? Are you holy? Are you holy? People all want to know, you're born again. I'm asking, are you holy? God is coming. He's coming to reside. He's coming to reveal himself. He's coming to make his visitation permanent. And we're going to wake up and we're going to say, the Lord has visited us. He has changed me. And I'm going to go out and change others. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And open heaven. He's going to visit us. He's visiting us now. Even the manifestations that we're experiencing now, they're going to intensify.
Amen.
They're going to intensify.
Amen.
We're experiencing some.
Yes.
But my Lord,
amen,
get ready.
Amen.
The heavens are opening.
Yes.
And there's no coincidence that past next Sunday is taking us into heaven.
Amen.
You got to understand what's going on. You just can't sit back and say, this is entertainment.
Yes.
Ooh, this was a good service.
Yes.
Time to mature. It's time to understand what is an open heaven all about. How does that affect my life and my family life?
Yes.
What am I supposed to do? Get ready for persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Get ready for angelic visitations.
Yeah.
Get ready for all types of folk to come into the house of God.
Yes.
Get ready for signs and miracles and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for the Kairos moment. When God's going to stop everything that man has done. God says, it's my turn now.
Amen.
Glory to God. Aren't you excited about it? Don't fear your age. Don't fear death. Don't let your physical body make you say, it's too late. Wait until that Kairos moment comes. Glory, we're going to be like Caleb's up in here. How in the world you think Caleb could go up and take a whole mountain? 80 years old. Vision sharp as it is. God, heaven opened. And came down in a Kairos moment. And he performed a miracle. Revival's coming. Are you holy? Stand upon your feet. Are you a counterfeit? Are you really born again? Are you ready for revival? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Father, we just love you so much. And we thank you, Father, for focusing all your attention right here on these group of folk, corporate Christ. And thank you for in the spirit realm you're seeing. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And Father, you're pouring out your blessings and your power by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're just about to go out performing signs and wonders, turning the world upside down. Full of the Holy Spirit. Father, many, many will come to the Lord because of the witness of Christ. Many will come out of bondage that they've been in for years because your servants are going out full of the Holy Spirit, taking the gospel of Christ, full of love, patience, non-judgmental. We shall lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. We shall speak in the name of Jesus. We shall love and restore in the name of Jesus. And Father, just like your son Jesus did while he was here on the earth, we shall pray for everyone that comes because we will have supernatural energy. We will rise up early because you will call us to, not because we will try to do it of our own, but you will call us to rise up early. To talk to you, to get instructions as we begin to acknowledge you in all our ways. We will begin to hear where to go, what to do, how to do it. And Father, peace will be up. We will not fret. We will not be anxious. Just as your son wasn't when they told him Lazarus was dead. He knew exactly what was going on because he heard from you. So in peace, he could say, Lazarus, sleep. Because he knew that in 3 or 4 days, you were going to send him to call Lazarus back from the dead. We're your people. We're supernatural. And we thank you so much for this open heaven that we're about to experience. It's called revival. Oh, revival in Tidewater. Revival in the city, revival in the nation, and we shall be a part of it. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.